sitting in for Coach McCarthy. We had a great weekend. It's always exciting to see the new guys come in and assimilate, see them in a Packer uniform and Packer helmet. It's kind of cool. We had, as always, in a rookie minicamp, we had several different classifications of players. We had players who were on our practice squad last year who kind of know their way around. They were sort of the leaders, which that's the way it is every year. Then we have the draft choices who, step in, and obviously we're counting on them to come and help our team a little bit. And then we have our college free agents we've already signed. And then we have guys that are here for all intents and purposes trying out for a couple of days to see how they fit with our team. We've had all four different categories of those players. We've had players come out of those groups and make our team and help our team win games, and we're looking forward to the same thing happening this time. At that, I'll take some questions.
Any idea how many of those tryout guys you could sign, and when that might happen? Is that today?
We don't know. It'll be a couple of days before we'll sort all that out. We'll probably have that wound up by Monday.
How does that process work? Because like Mike was saying, it's not necessarily how many balls you catch or et cetera during the two practices. I mean, how do you determine which guys are worth coming back when it's such a small kind of window to look at them on the field?
Yeah, and actually, interesting enough, it's even within our own group, the personnel guys prefer to see certain drills done, so it helps us evaluate players. But, from a coaching standpoint, they're trying to get them ready and caught up with our veteran players who some of the fellows are going to be here and jump right into that. So it's kind of a catch-22. But you look for whatever you look for in scouting. All these guys we've done a lot of tape work on. All of them we've done research before. We actually even invited them to training camp. So we know the things we're looking for. We know the things that maybe aren't so good that we're hoping we don't see. But it's an athletic and in some cases energy level. When a guy comes in and sort of lights up the practice field with his energy, that leads me closer to that player.
And what makes you bring a guy in like the tight end from Oregon, who obviously had some issues but is really talented?
Well, we did a lot of work on Colt. He's a very talented athlete. We interviewed him at the combine. Went through all those procedures, talked to a lot of people. He's a young man that made some mistakes, and we felt like he was worth bringing in and taking a look at.
Ted, I remember when Cliff Crystal asked you about Corin Robinson. I don't quite have that kind of a question in me, but when you're debating whether or not a guy who's had some issues is worth bringing in, how do you weigh his talent? How do you weigh what there could be a backlash on? And then how do you weigh that guys do deserve a second chance at some level?
You weigh it all. And every case is an individual case. We have always believed that, or I have always believed that there are certain things that people can atone for, acknowledge their mistakes and get on with their lives. And I'm a proponent of those kind of people that try to do that, and that's where we're at with Colt.
Ted, I know the draft's a long, grueling process. It was even longer this year with the 2 weeks later. How many more drafts do you think you got in yet?
I'm just getting started. No, I feel pretty good. This is always a fun weekend for us in scouting because, it all kind of comes together. And sometimes you try to look away because it doesn't look as good as what you thought it was supposed to look like. And And other times it's like, hey, that's pretty good. And I think it's a cool thing to see these guys in a Packer uniform for the first time and see the enthusiasm. And it'll get more interesting next week when the veterans are back.
Ted, your contract goes through the 2016 draft, if I'm not mistaken. You plan to work through then or beyond? What is your plan?
I don't really have one. I've never had one. I wouldn't anticipate doing anything different.
So you could say for certainty that you will work through your present contract?
Certainty is a fairly strong word. I'm feeling good and ready to go.
Ted, I just think a lot of people kind of, and we might have been wrong about it, but you know, you went out of your way to thank all your guys twice during the draft, which I think is a little different than you normally do. Mm-hmm. So we're not getting rid of that easily, is that what you're telling us?
No, that wasn't a prelude to me walking out. No, it was a genuine, you know, because it's just the number of hours that you put in, and if I haven't overthanked those guys in the past, that was my fault. And two times in front of you guys is not overdoing it, I don't think.
So what keeps you going? You've been doing this for a while. I mean, you're on the road a ton. I'm sure it's a lot of early days, early mornings, late nights. I mean, what keeps you going?
Well, I think the chase. You know, I think when you're in the scouting business, it's the chase. It's hoping, you know, a lot of it is, you know, X number of players at the University of Alabama, and you have your list, and you do those. But then every once in a while you find somebody that nobody is really keen to, and you're hoping to find that diamond that nobody else has found. And that's hard to do, and the coverage that we have in the NFL and the scouting departments that are all around the league. But I think it's the chase. And the coming together, and most importantly, probably the Sundays or Mondays or Thursdays when you've won the game and you're in a winning locker room. That's as good as it gets.
Who are some of those diamond in the roughs that you found over your
I haven't found one yet. Most of the ones that we've drafted over the years and liked or didn't like were the same people that everybody else liked.
Yeah, but Ted, you've given more opportunities to undrafted guys than probably anybody. You know what those guys go through and the odds that are stacked against them.
Right.
So what are you, not only what are you looking for, but Why do you think that those guys always seem to find their way falling through the cracks, and that there's always good football players that find their way through those cracks?
Well, yeah, and we're huge proponents of the college free agency thing. We think that's a marvelous opportunity to help your team. We have over the last 5 or 6 years probably had more of those than anybody else in the NFL. We use that as a selling point. I think it's a credit to our coaching staff for being able to take these guys and get them ready to play and be able to function in the NFL, but it's also a credit to our scouts and the hard work they do.
Is it fair to say that you put in as much work into those guys as the guys that get their names called over the draft?
I don't know if it's exactly the same, but, yeah, we spend a lot of time on it.
Ted, as somebody who grew up in Texas, played your college football there, and then playing in the NFL in a home state team, can you kind of feel for what Jared Aberderis is going through right now and what that process is like playing, you know, trying to make a hometown or a home area type of team?
I don't know. I had a ball, you know, because – there were 17. I'm told the story. But there were 17 rounds. I didn't get drafted. So, you just swing for the fence and do the best. It's. I'm proud of what I did in the NFL, and I'm proud of the people I played with and the records that we had and stuff. But I think I've said this before. It's harder to play in the NFL today than it was when I was playing. And I don't mean that in any disrespect to the great players that played then. They were great players, and Rock sitting over here did a great job. But it's hard. It's the training and the working out and the scrutiny and all that. It's so much more now that I have a lot of regard for the players who are able to do that and do it successfully.
Two more.
Ted, you mentioned obviously being a 17th round draft pick.
Now you got to bring that up again.
But having the 7 rounds now, I know there was some talk about maybe potentially adding more. Do you like the way they handle undrafted free agency right now and that kind of catch-can way that they go about it after round 7 rounds?
Yeah, we're kind of used to it. We've been doing the 7 rounds for quite a bit of time, and we're very comfortable in the setup. If the league decides to change it, we'll adapt and do whatever it is we need to do.
Ted, can you give us an overview of your draft class as you saw it this weekend?
Vic, I don't know. That's hard for me to do because I was concentrating, quite frankly, more on, you know, the tryout guys and the guys we're still trying to make decisions on. Our drafted guys, we made decisions on them already. And I will say this, they all look fine, and they look like what we thought they'd look like.
Could you kind of detail your late-round draft philosophy? I mean, I realize it's best player available, but are you looking to hit a home run on those kind of guys? And, you know, if you swing and miss, it's no big deal, but are you looking for, like, the big upside kind of guys? Or I guess, how do you do those 6th, 7th round?
We strictly went by the board this year. It was strictly the way names were left up on the board, and we decided to, you know, throw out the, you know, do we need one more of X for a training camp? We wanted to make sure we stuck with the board and tried to pick the best player. We really did.
Mike, last one.
Ted, if Johnny Jolly is medically cleared, do you want to bring him back?
Oh, that would be a lot of what-ifs, so we'll think about that when it is.
And you're still waiting on his medical situation? Is the same thing for Michael Finley?
Again, I don't want to get into too much of that. We'll address that when we need to.
So there's been times...
I thought this was the last one.
I just want to clarify. So there's been times toward the end of the draft where you have kind of said we need somebody at that position, and you've done that, but not this year.
Yeah, I mean, and we wouldn't violate the board even then, but it was here we felt strongly that we had, you know, a guy identified as the best player on the board. When I talk about the need thing, it means, you know, there's an offensive tackle here and there's a receiver here, and, you know, which one would you rather have at training camp?